countryside, a small town called Huntley. How many of you heard of this? Probably none. It's a very small town. We went there, we went to a Blenmore house for a retreat for 10 days for the leaders. We had the opportunity to walk around. We went to the small town Huntley. We had time of coffee and a visit. It's a very small town. But I was very impressed. With the culture. People there, you know, of course, I stayed there only for 10 days, 11 days. You know, my observation probably just on the surface. But I was very impressed with the people there. They were very courteous, respectful, kind, trustworthy. We went to the train station, we asked questions. I remember the day we arrived was very challenging day. It was so cold. Never been a place in April is so cold. It was raining and cold. We were not too sure we are on the right side of the train station, on the right train. So we asked people. The people also in the very cold weather. But they were very patiently, kindly to explain to us. They recognize we are visitor, we are stranger, we are foreigner. I was very impressed. When I was in that small restaurant in the downtown of Huntley, I went to the bathroom. You know, wherever I go, I want to find out how the community is, or culture is. I check the bathroom first. Do you know that? The bathroom will tell the whole story about our culture. It was so clean and neat. It's not only just clean and neat, it smells so good. With the soft music. That's not the first class hotel. It's just the average restaurant. No. In Scotland, you don't have to pay for bathroom. That's my experience. But in England, train station, you have to pay 50 pence. No money, no walking. I was very impressed. And also the people there interact with them. I not say they are perfect, but they have some unique culture. How many of you know that Scotland has been influenced by Bible, by Christianity? How many of you know that? There are many revivalists, Bible teachers, came out of that, out of that land. Here we try to build a glorious church. We want to build a kingdom culture community. We quite often, we start, before I preach, I ask you guys to share the Thanksgiving. Do you know that's a part of the kingdom culture? If we keep the heart of Thanksgiving, we will be joyful. Amen? You think about, my wife tried to practice right now. Every day, is every day? He tried to, before she rest, before she goes to sleep, she write down 10 things he thanked to the Lord. It's very helpful. Even right now, you think about this yesterday. What are thankful things? Dear brothers and sisters, we can sit here. We can breathe in and breathe out. We should be thankful. The reason we, many times, we are complaining or do things, we are in the negative spirit because we don't think things in the eternal perspective. We only think about, I lost this, I lose this, I wasn't being affirmed, he's not kind to me. We always just stuck with the petty things. In light of that, I'd like to share with you today about cultivating and growing the spirit of the fear of the Lord. When we hear these words, this statement, fear of the Lord, it seems very negative. So I want to clarify, what is the fear of the Lord? It's not. The fear of the Lord is not due to our misconception about God. He is mean, angry, unreasonable, demanding, judgmental being. So we are so afraid of him. By all means, we try to avoid him. Isn't that a phenomenon among many people today? Is that right? Are you with me? You can talk with people about anything except God. Because they have wrong concept of God. I think God is someone very hard to deal with. He's so cruel. You read the Bible without understanding the background, you say, get that impression. Actually, that's not about God. That may be about your authority figure, about your earthly father, about your tough boss. Amen? When we come into the kingdom, our mindset hasn't been transformed, renewed. We still bring that into, we project onto God. That's not fear of the Lord. That is a fearful lie about the Lord. Amen? Are you with me? Are you guys okay? I thought Irene led us a glorious worship just now. You should be all in glory right now. Many of them look very tired. Are you okay, Cindy? What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is to show honor and reverence to the Lord as He deserves, to give glory and honor and thanks to God. As a matter of fact, if you become a thankful person, you show the reverence, you show honor to Him. Amen? That's a very basic thing you and I can do. But the fear of the Lord is a very important truth. Unless we really have the fear of the Lord, we are very hard to get closer to the Lord. We hear a lot of teaching about love of God. We all like that. But also we need to respect God. Amen? To honor God. I think that in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 6 to 11, it's a good illustration about the fear of the Lord. Okay, this is about the heavenly worship. So if we contrast with the heavenly worship, our earthly worship, we haven't expressed enough our honor to the Lord. Let's read that together. How about that? Revelation chapter 4, verse 6 to 11. Let's read together. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around. Even under his wings, day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Yes, it is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things by your will." They were created. Well, here is the Apostle John's experience in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, that John in his spirit, an angel brought him to heaven to see something going on in heaven. And when he brought him there, he saw God the Father on the throne, God's Son next to him. And he saw there were four living creatures. I think they probably are archangels, special angels. And they saw 24 elders. 12 represent the Old Testament. 12 represent the New Testament. They say it's the kingdom government. But the important part I want to point out here is the way they worship God. Can we look at, if you have Bible, you have the cell phone, you can turn to your Bible version on your phone. The way they worship God is amazing. Compared with the way they worship, always really behind. Look at how they worship God. Let's read here. The four living creatures, there was day and night, they never stopped saying what? Holy, holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. It's very interesting. When they worship God, they declare something about God's attribute. We'll mention that. So you can tell the holiness is the major attribute of God. They will declare that day and night. Interesting. Day and night, and very loud, who was, is, will be. They declare about God's attributes, eternal, He's holy. And the interesting thing here is whenever the full living creature, when they worship God, they give honor, glory, and thanks to Him. Whenever they worship God like that, the 24 elders, they fall down, they worship God, and they put their crowns before Him, before the throne. And then they say, "You are worthy." They also declare things to God. So dear brother and sister, next time when Irene lead us or Ricky lead us, worship God, you can kneel down before God. Fall down before God. Totally whole body on the floor. That's how they worship God. That's a theme. They show honor, reverence to God. And they were the highest angels, and also they represent kingdom government, 24 elders, the highest level, highest authority of the kingdom of God. They show that worship and honor to God. Maybe you say, "Pastor Joseph, this is show reverence to God in heaven. How about on the earth?" I'd like to share some example with you about fear of the Lord. The first one I share with you is Old Testament David. David was a warrior. He was a military man. He knew how to fight, right? You guys know that, right? The famous story for David was David and Goliath, right? When he was young. But when he grew up, he's not just a good warrior only. He was a general. He knew how to defeat the enemy. But how many of you, every time when David has a major military campaign, he always inquire of God? Dear brothers and sisters, this is a very amazing thing. When do we cry out to God? Usually when we are in trouble, right? When do we depend upon God? We usually depend upon God on those things you are not good at. Amen? You're weak. "Oh, I don't know how to speak in front of people, so I pray to God whole night. You know, just give me strength. I don't know how to do this exam. I don't know how to do business. I don't know how to talk to customers. This is a tough guy. So I pray to God. I inquire God." But David, he was a military person. He knew how to fight. He has strategy, but every time in his major campaign, military campaign, he inquired of the Lord. You can read yourself. That shows he revealed God. He has the fear of the Lord. Also in his downtime, in his lowest moment of life, one of the lowest moments of life, he committed adultery, he murdered someone's husband. In his repentant prayer, let's read together Psalm 51, verse 3 to 4. This is a famous one. This is a prayer of repentance. Psalm 51. Last week I talked about slow down. You know, we really slow down. It will come slowly, and we'll read together. This is David's prayer to God. "For I know my transgression and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and I've done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge." Okay? I think here, King David knew he screwed up. Prophet Nathan came, confront him. But in his prayer, it's very important. David understood that everything he had done, his sin, God sees so clearly. It's very precious here is in his lowest moment, he still honor God. Amen? He say, I sin. I sin against you only. What he means is, when I sin, I really sin against God. You know, he cannot escape, hide from God. So he repent. So this is an Old Testament example about a person has a fear of the Lord. He will show honor, respect to God. I'll give you another example on the earth. It's the New Testament Jerusalem church. It's Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. We see their lifestyle. This is a very interesting church. They met in the temple court, okay, for worship. But when they have fellowship time, they meet at the house. Also, they met every day. Our church doesn't have every day service, but First Church, Jerusalem Church, they met every day, but they didn't say, oh, it's terrible. We had to go to church every day. No, they enjoy it every day. Let's read a little bit the description here, okay? Verse 42. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonder and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possession and goods, they give to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. As you read this scripture to describe the first church, Jerusalem church, the scripture just now, what are the words you are used to describe the church? One word. That's not one word. An adjective. Describe. That's a statement. Prayer for? What else? Together. How many of you see is a joyful church? I think that they must like each other. Right? How many of you love your job? So how many of you think about tomorrow you go back to work and you say, well, yeah, I'm ready. You know, for the Jerusalem church, that's all they thought about. They love to meet each other. I tell you, the reason for that is not because the church has a good program, had a good meal plan, it's free food. No. Because the presence of God is there. It's very interesting. The scriptures say they all feel with awe. They all were fearful. Not the negative thing. They feel with awe because the apostles among them, those 12 Jesus established, performed sign and wonder. How many of you need a sign and wonders? Miracles. Okay. How many of you need a physical healings? Then you can raise higher. It's okay. How many of you need a financial healing? There were healings occur almost every day in the first church. And the people feel with awe, with wonder, what is this? Do we want a church like that? Then we need to have fear of the Lord. They honor God. They honor God by commit to the right thing. They commit to the word. They commit to the prayer. They commit to breaking bread together, the Holy Communion and the fellowship together. They honor God by loving one another. They sell their property to feed the needs of everyone. Dear brothers and sisters, this is not charity. This is not just good heart. It's a good community. This is people lay down themselves. That's the 24 elders. They cast their throne before God's throne. They put on their crown before God's throne. When people have the presence of God to the level that even the human being try to have the communist society, they cannot accomplish. People think about too much about God and one another. They sell their own stuff. They have everything in common. A lot of people just copy that. Say, hey, that's the first communist society. No, that's not the point. Is the point is the presence of God is there so strong. People are so filled with the reverence for Him, they start forget about themselves. Dear brother and sister, it's a joyful thing sometimes you forget about yourself. Amen? It's very interesting. On the Sermon on the Mount, it constantly talk about that. In the chapter, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, do not worry. I think it's very interesting. I think Jesus really has a right to say that. I say this from another angle. You say, oh, he's Son of God, he's Savior, so he has everything. No, no, no. When Jesus was on the earth, he was very poor, you know that? But Jesus said, don't worry about that. Because my Heavenly Father knows all your needs. He himself practiced that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Let's just make sure we're all alert. Jesus said, don't worry about what to eat, what to drink. Isn't that true? That's a pressure. You don't say, I worry, but that's a pressure on our heart, right? I think to most of us who live in the Bay Area, it's not easy. Particularly on I-80. You see, about 7 p.m., the car, the traffic, still very slow on I-80. By 7 p.m., 7:30, sometimes 8 p.m., people drive a long way to work just to make a living. And you tell them, don't worry. You need have the presence. You need to experience God, right? But when the community, they love each other because they love the Lord. I want to say this again. This is not a charity. This is not just good heart. This is not a humanistic effort. I try to show my love to you, so I lay down all this. You cannot last too long. If they don't think about themselves, they care for each other because the kingdom has arrived here. That's why the Bethel Church, you know, one of their core values is they want the kingdom of God come on earth. Isn't that wonderful? We have some time in the whole day, we don't think about ourselves. Is that wonderful? When you don't think about yourself, you don't think about your problem either. Is that right? We need to switch focus. Look at the Lord, and hopefully when we look at Him, we can see Him. Amen? I need your participation. Amen?
Amen.
Because we need to level up, at least for this 40 minutes. You're not just bogged down. How to say that? My immigrant English. Bogged down. How to say that? It's fine, okay. We bombard with a daily issue every day, and we have no time to look up and go to higher level. Me, myself, my needs, my burden, my wounds, my hurts. We need to come out of that. And that need that reverence for God, honor to Him. In order to honor Him, you need to focus on Him. Amen? How many of you feel, I want to change? I need a change. We cannot, every day just, a lot of people say, how are you? I'm still living, you know, breathing, breathe out. Why do we live? Don't answer that easily. Oh, I try to glorify God. You really glorify God? I don't know. God is so profound. I will come to there. Okay, that's enough for this point. So, why should we have the fear of the Lord? I tell you some practical things. You're concerned about earthly life. There are some major benefits of fearing the Lord. Number one, gain wisdom and knowledge and understanding about life. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the... Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We can be educated, get a lot of degree, but yet make foolish decision. Because you have knowledge, you have information, doesn't mean you have wisdom. Amen? Wisdom is know how to use your knowledge, how to invest, not to invest. Amen? How many of you want wisdom? You need to fear the Lord. You need to honor God. Secondly, the benefit to have the fear of the Lord is living a longer life. How many of you want to live a longer life? Some people don't. A lot of people told me they don't want to live a longer life. They're discouraged. You want to live a longer life? Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord adds length to life. It's very interesting. I'm going to explain why later. Thirdly, turn away from evil and snare of death. You know, sometimes we cannot help fall into the temptation, to the snare of death and evil. But if you fear, you have the fear of the Lord, you will not. You'll be prevented. Proverbs 16:6, through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. Isn't that wonderful? It's avoided. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, turning a person from the snare of death. It's a fountain of light. That's what we need. You want the healing? You need to turn to this fear of the Lord. The reverence for God gives you the strength every day. You know you are in God's hands. Fourthly, lead to a quality life. How many of you want a quality life? Not just existence. Quality. High quality. There's a lie in America. Say quality life is I have a lot of money. No. I'm not against money. Money is a tool. Quality life is you have a lot of presence of God in your life. Amen? Quality life. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. I tell you, this is the blessing we need today. This is this world full of trouble. You fly in the air, the airplane is landing, suddenly exploded. Okay. We don't know the reason. Is that scary? You're in the airport, you check in the luggage, and suddenly there's a bomb exploded. It can be any airport. But you have the fear the Lord will lead to the life, one rest content, untouched by trouble. Many times the trouble is not out there. Trouble is in here, right? In our heart. If you have the trouble heart, you see everything is in trouble. Proverbs 22, verse 4. Humility is the fear of the Lord. His wages are riches and honor and life. I'm so glad there's a scripture just point out. One of the aspects of the fear of the Lord is being humble, being teachable. Okay, you say, how can we cultivate and grow fear of the Lord? Number one, know God's word and his attributes. It's very important. It's not know about God's words only. You really need to spend time to study the word of God, to know what does it say. How does that apply? That's very important. Not just, oh, I know this scripture roughly, this and roughly. You need to go to the word. You need to have a system to study. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 to 17, let's read together. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. When Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy, he talked about this. And how from, let's read. And how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How many of you know in the Bible it teaches us about finance? It teaches about us about true success, about health. Everything's there. If we want to honor God, we need to seek, know God's standard well. Amen? So first thing to cultivate and grow the fear of the Lord, you need to know the word of God. You need to spend time. You need to schedule that. Also, know his attribute. Just now in the heavenly worship, we saw that one major attribute of God. Attribute means God's character, God's traits. One major attribute of God. Can you tell me what is that? Holiness. We just talk about this holiness. What does holiness mean? Set apart, okay? The holiness means is a refer to someone or something is high above everything. Set apart is about how to make the thing holy, a person holy. When you set apart someone or something with a high above, the thing becomes holy. One major attribute of God is holiness. This is very important. If you know what does holiness mean, God is high above. It's high quality. How many of you here pursue high quality? How many of you here, when you buy things, you pursue low price? I tell you, high quality and low price is conflicting most of the time. Do you understand that? Hopefully sometime they are the same. What I try to say, if you want to pursue the high quality, you want to pursue the most high quality, the highest quality is God Himself. You know, God's love is high above all the love. God's wisdom is high above. His knowledge, His way, doing things, is worthwhile to know His attribute, particularly about holiness. I try to describe briefly, He is high above. I think in every realm, the good things. How many of you know God is beautiful when He manifests Himself? He's so intelligent, so beautiful. The heavenly worship is so beautiful. I think those things we need to pursue, we need to understand and pursue. So how can we cultivate and grow the fear of the Lord? We need to show our honor and reverence to God's words and His attribute. Just now, Luke responded, the holiness is about set apart. That's called sanctification. To make someone something holy is you set apart. It really makes sense. If we set apart for God's holiness, the high quality, high above, the high above quality will come into us. Amen? We set apart. That's just the beginning. Set apart, not just one action. It's set apart, then we live a life set apart in our love, in our wisdom, in our doing everything. And that is the fear of the Lord. Amen? I give you an example. The Bible says, do not stop meeting together like those who are used to. It doesn't refer to you not have the weekly meeting. It refers to do not stop, have fellowship, go to the church function, the cell group meeting, the Sunday worship service. A lot of people find an excuse for that. We want to honor God? We honor God. He says, stop. Do not stop meeting with brother and sister to build up one another. So we go because we honor Him. Amen? The Bible also says, forgive. Otherwise, you cannot be forgiven. We start to honor Him by forgive people. It's not easy to forgive people. Who says it's easy? Did Jesus say, come, follow me, so your life will be easy? He never say that, right? The Lord say, come. Anyone want to come after me, he should lay down his life, bear the cross, and follow me daily. So that's the things we need to honor.
I didn't know what the pastor was going to talk about, but during worship, the Lord just really convicted me of the strife and the restlessness and the things we put our minds on. We can't worship God because we have these idols that we're thinking about. And we're supposed to abstain from the pollution of idols. The pollution of the idols is it robs us of our rest. It robs us of our trust because we idol our jobs. We idol our perfection in our lives. We honor our families. We honor these different things that drive us. And Jesus says, I've come to give you my peace. And we're saying, well, I know that, but I've got these things on my mind. I've got these worries here. I've got these other things. He says, I've died to give you my peace. That you would not be polluted. Your lives would not be polluted by idols. The things beyond your control, your finances, your jobs, all these, this thing that we're trying to find perfection in. We need to repent from that. We need to repent from being polluted by idols and just receive the peace of Jesus. Because God says, I am the I am. He is here right now. And when tomorrow we're worrying about on our jobs comes, He'll be there. So why worry about what happens tomorrow? What happened? Really worry what happened yesterday? Amen to that? I just really felt really strongly here. And we had the same word on Saturday morning during our prayer time. Intercession. So much striving. So much restlessness. Because we can't find peace. And Jesus says, I give you my peace. So I'm just going to, let's just pray for like 30-second prayer here. Father, we just praise your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you came to give us peace. What a wonderful gift. Father, we would repent. We would repent of a spirit of perfection in our lives, that we have to be perfect in the eyes of others. We find our holiness and our perfection through Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross. So forgive us, Lord. We don't know what we're doing. But if we ask for forgiveness, You will show us the way. And the Lord just showed me He's going to show us the way. So receive in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Pastor. Good illustration. I just want to encourage all of us. I believe this is a season of repentance. So spend time. Last Sunday, some of you didn't make it last Sunday. It's a time you slow down your life. Have some time alone. Examine our life in the past, present, and future, and wait upon the Lord to hear from Him. It's a time to be teachable, humble, understand the season. It's a time for repentance. Let's all arise. We pray and conclude. Lord, we thank You for Your presence, but Your presence will not stop here. You'll continue with those who seek You. May You grant us the hunger to know and experience more about the truth, about the fear of the Lord, willing to give honor and respect to You that You deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen. Conclude our worship here.